surgery coming up on the 7th of May. They're going to break his arm for him so they can reset it. That's going to be fun. Brother Rocky, 22nd of this month, 22nd, he's going to be having some kind of, here, lay this over by me so I don't forget it anymore. Next time, remind me to read all of it. Anyhow, don't forget Brother Rocky's going to be having some kind of a surgical procedure, so that's coming up right around the corner. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 123, Psalm 123. You find the place you're able to stand. Let's look there in the chapter that's there. If that's Logan, if he's looking in, we're missing you, buddy. Miss Kelly, we miss you and all of that right there. Brother Nolan, you're probably not tuned in anyhow, but if you were tuned in, because of the signal, we miss you too. So anyhow, all right, Psalm 123, verse 1. He said, "Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, and O thou that dwellest in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden into the hand of their mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. How we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Lord, these boys and girls, these young men, these young women, Lord, we pray you'd examine every heart now. And Lord, give us something lasting for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning on if you're going to get hell, you better be looking toward heaven. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that in days gone by, there's no two ways in ten about it. If you don't get some help that comes from heaven, it won't be long. You'll wind up in hell. I hope that that's never going to be your case. And if that is your case, it's because you're too proud to just simply bow your head and repent toward God by faith. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that life's got a lot of problems up and down the road of life. And make no mistake about it, I don't care where you hail from, I don't care who you marry, and I don't care what profession you're in, there's some problems that arise in this life that we're living in. I'm glad it's not all smooth sailing, but I would really rather it be smoother on my end than your end. At least I could pray for you while you're going through the bumps of life. In this lesson, let me tell you that all of us, man that's born of woman, the Bible said, he's of a few days and full of trouble. And if you've been alive very long and you don't have mom and daddy to run to, I remember just barely, I barely can remember, when you go to getting as old as I am, one of the things that you'll miss the most will be your memory. But I remember whenever there wasn't a worry in the world. Whatever problem arose, mom and daddy handled. Whatever advice I needed, mom and daddy gave it. And it wasn't long until up and down the road of life, you know, then all of a sudden we get married. And I go to thinking about real quickly, well, hon, what's about this problem here? Well, why am I going to know that? Well, what do you mean, how are you going to know that? Mom and daddy knew that. You don't know that. And you can get in a good argument over the fact that you're not doing your job because you've now tried to put that pressure on her. I got to say to you that, if you will, is that here's a good kind thing. If you ever get married, some of you fellas, here's something you never want to say to your wife, all right? On Sunday morning when you're getting ready, she's in there by the mirror and she's getting everything ready and all of that. And when she says, well, do you need here in this front of this mirror? Well, no, when you get through polishing it with your presence and your look, never say that, never. I can say that now and get by with it because it's just funny to me, but it won't be funny to her. She's learned that I mean it as a cutesy little thing anyway. I said all that, there's a lot of problems arising life. Some are worse than others, but I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, is that whenever you are growing along and now you've got a family, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some problems that are going to prop up and that are going to arise. And I hope that you will be able to have it dealt with by the hand of God, and you'll be able to trust the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and mind. There's another thing that in this lesson, point number one, that I want you to look at, and look where he had. He said in verse number one there, I'm going to lift up mine eyes. That's the right direction, dear friend. Listen, if you want to get saved, you better look up to the heavens to where that God dwelleth. You want to get something fixed, look up unto heaven that where God dwelleth. You've got a problem of contempt, you've got contention, you've got heartache and heartbreak, whatever it is comes your way in life, you look up to heaven, to the throne room of God, and ask God for mercy. I was one thing about it, you ain't never going to be able. Now, you'll get mad. I've been serving God, living for God, doing all for God, been tithing, giving the missions above my tithe. I've been faithful to the house of God. Now, this has come upon me. You're going to have that flesh to deal with every now and again. And the only way you're going to be able to rise above flesh is to be able to look unto heaven, to where the throne room of God is, and to ask the Lord. You say, well, where's the Lord Jesus Christ? Sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've got him to be able to intercede for me. There's no way you and I could ever bargain with God. We can never be able to pull rank on God because he's above all. And let me tell you right now, we are but dust and ashes in his presence and in his sight. And you'd better learn how to bow your head and to be humble before God and to be thankful for what God's done. Listen, you've got to look toward heaven, not to your friends, but toward heaven. You ever notice that whenever you begin to look there toward heaven, is that you're going to find out that you'll quit looking down so much when you start looking up? And it's good to be able to look up unto him and to be able to apply to him and to appeal to him. And Lord, have mercy upon me. What that means is when you humble your heart, I realize and know that I'm having it better than I even deserve. But I'm asking you, Lord, have mercy upon me. And I'll tell you what he will do. He will have mercy. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift and the mercy that he bestows upon us. I got to say to you, when you realize that, oh, you've got nothing to bargain with, no means, you've got no method at all to be able to appeal to God about, is that there's only one way and only one name given among men under heaven, given among men whereby you must be saved, and that's the name that's above every name. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better look to him for mercy. I begin to think about in this lesson you're looking at, we're all dependent, verse number two of our text, we're all of us dependent upon him. That's why he said that, upon the Lord our God, in the last part of it. He said, have mercy upon us. Then he started out, have mercy upon us in verse number three. Now, I got to say to you, and make no mistake about it, you better be looking unto him, and you better be looking for mercy. And whatever you do, God will do something far beyond our expectation. I begin to think about in this lesson here, we've never had a prayer that went unanswered. Sometimes God carried it along further than we intended for it to be. You see, you ever pray for somebody and pray, dear God, I pray you'd make them whole, completely whole, and then they died? Well, you know God answered that. I'm going to tell you, whenever you draw your last breath here and you poke your head up in heaven and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Let me tell you, there'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more agony. See, God has answered all of our prayers. He just carried it further than we intended that he would. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, I'm glad that I can look unto him. The Bible said over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45, now don't lose your text, but over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45, there's a passage over there. It's in about verse number 22, if I remember right. And as we look there in that chapter there, here's what he says, verse number 22, Isaiah chapter number 45. In verse 5, he tells him, I am the Lord and there's none else. That makes a Mormon right there a liar because they believe in many gods. But he said, I'm the Lord and there's none else. In case you miss that, there is no God beside me, he said. And I've girded thee, and though that thou hast not known me. Now, watch this here. In verse number 6, he said, that say that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there's none beside me, that I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now look, if you will, please, in Isaiah chapter 45. And I want you to look there in verse 22 of the passage. In this passage, he says, look unto me. That's where we're at over there in the psalm. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I want to tell you, here you are right here, this sitting here before me this morning. Are you saved? If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Now, you may go ahead and ignore that. You may go ahead and say, well, I may plan that another day. Who promised you another day? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, God said. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I want to tell you something right here. Look, if you will, please, in verse 23 of Isaiah 45. He said, I've sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. And I want to tell you, when you get to the place where you've bowed your head, your heart, and you've humbled yourself before God, and you've looked unto the Lord and unto heaven where he's dwelling for salvation, God said he'll save you. He'll save you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I like the song, saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. I'll tell you something right now, that when you get saved by the grace of God, I'm glad we're saved, 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 if so be you've bowed your head and your heart in repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here back in our text, he says, I'm going to lift my eyes up unto the heaven where thou dwellest. And I'm going to tell you, God, the dwelling place and the throne room of God is there in heaven. Notice that, if you will, that over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 121, he says in verse 1 and 2, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, you can't get salvation from a hill. I like to look at hills and mountains and this and that. But I'll tell you what he's doing. He's looking at the place of sacrifice on a hill far away, what is an old rugged cross. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I got to tell you that if you lift your eyes unto the Lord Jesus Christ, this world's in a mess it's in because they lift their eyes to everything but the Lord. But if you lift up your eyes unto the Lord, he'll save you. That Bible said there in that chapter, he'll keep you. That Bible said in that chapter there, I can tell you what he'll do. He'll protect you and he'll preserve you. And when he saves you, it'll be from the guttermost to the uttermost to those that'll come to God by him. Over there in Psalms 122, in about verse number 1 and 2, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And when God saved you, he'll put you in the house of God. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. Oh, Jerusalem, I got to tell you, when you got saved by the grace of God, he put you in the house of God. And I was glad when they said unto me. You know what's wrong when it's killing the average Baptist? Sunday morning gets around, they're looking for a convenient excuse to make them feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent or to show up at the house of God. You ever get to the place to where we're all of us like dust and ashes and flesh? And you ever get to the place to where you, man, I thought for a minute I was fixing to have to go to church, but this has come up and I feel like it's a convenient excuse. That's all right. I appreciate both amens, but I'm still right, just so you know. We've all got that, don't we? You see? This old flesh that you and I are contended with, I can tell you, is that the Lord Jesus Christ not only saved us, he added us to the church of the living God, and he said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the church of the living God, which is in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. I'll tell you how you ought to behave yourself with faithfulness unto the Lord. And let me say to you, when God dwells in heaven, not like the Muslim world and Allah and all that, believe in seven heavens, there's three of them. And let me tell you right now, when it says three heavens, it doesn't mean three throne rooms of God. It means the atmospheric heaven when you look up and see the stars and all of that and the birds flying around. It also means whenever God mentions heavens, plural, it means the planetary heavens when you look up, see the stars and the place where the moon's at. And then not only that, but you'll find out there's the throne room of God. Now, we're going to be headed there one of these days, but right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in the throne room of God. I want to say to you that whenever you look into it, the Bible teaches us that He fills the heavens and fills the earth, and you can't hide from God one iota, make no mistake about it, is that nobody's ever going to stand before the Lord and say, well, you know what, I was going to get saved, but I didn't have that opportunity. That's going to be a lie. That's just going to be a lie, see? Is that you do have an opportunity while you're alive in here. Look over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 31. There's a passage there that we ought to be looking at in chapter 31 in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to say to you that one of these days is that this ain't going to come to an end. Not only for the whole world, but for you and I individually, it's going to come to an end. We're going to be called to be able to meet our Maker face to face. Now, Moses was a man, and you remember how he led the children of Israel about, Deuteronomy chapter number 31. And notice, we'll just read about beginning with verse 24. And it came to pass that when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished, and that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark and the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be therefore a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion, Moses said, and thy stiff neck. Behold, while that I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record it against them. For I know that after my death that ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, and because that you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake these in the ears of all the congregation of Israel, the words of this song, until they were ended. I got to tell you something, is that while we're here right now, you expected me whenever you got here to preach the word of the Lord. And you expected me to be able to preach heaven real and hell hot. You expected me to be faithful to the word and to preach all the counsel of God sooner or later. Not just this morning, but throughout all the ministry and all that been is there. And I tell you right now is that I've not done a good job of it, but I've been thanking God for the privilege all these years that I've been involved in it. But what about when I'm dead and gone, boys? What about, girls, when I'm dead and gone? Who's going to pick up the torch? Who's going to pick up the mantle? Who's going to wave the bloodstained banner then? You better not think and take for granted that you're always going to have these good people to go to church with, or that you're going to have this person faithful, dedicated, consecrated to the things of God. In this Bible lesson, you'll be able to find out is that when you get down to the end of the road or the end of your rope, you'd better be able to look unto him and lift your eyes toward heaven. Lord, I need some help from God, and I need it now. And I need you to help me and forgive me and cleanse me and make me fit to even receive mercy that I don't deserve. It's good to be able to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. When it comes down to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you'd better humble your heart, bow your knees and your head unto him. Why do you wait for that? I've talked to people before and say, listen, are you saved? Well, I don't really think so. What are you waiting for? See? You've heard the story over and over again. Do you want to be able to get help from heaven? Well, you're going to have to bow your head and bow your heart and humble yourself before God, and you're going to have to confess it. If you'll confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. And let me tell you something. This Bible said is that whosoever will confess me before men. Well, here's some men and women, boys and girls right here. You've not made it known that you're saved and want to follow the Lord in baptism. Why not? Here's the witnesses that God intends for you to be able to exercise that in front of. Don't you want to be able to exercise what God has said? Confess before men. See? He that will confess before men, I'll confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, do you want help from heaven this morning? Well, come to Christ. Come to Christ. All you got to do is come down here to this old-fashioned altar, pray, get up off your knees, come say, preacher, I've trusted the Lord. I want to be baptized and follow the Lord in baptism, and I want to be a part. I've obeyed the Lord. I thank God for the call that He's made. How about you, girls? You spend as much time praying about getting saved and birthed into the family of God as you do a boyfriend?
Yes, sir.
See? Good. Not that a boyfriend isn't nice. I mean, you know, I can promise you right now, they'll look a nice, good, God-fearing Christian boy looks good on a nice, God-fearing Christian girl's arm. See? I wonder this morning, do you know Him? Well, do you want to know Him? Let's stand to our feet. Our song director's coming. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed as our musicians are getting ready to come and play the invitation.